Arab Americans have understandably been avid followers of news about the uprisings in the Middle East and North Africa. Many first-generation Arab Americans fled to the U.S. to escape political repression in their home countries. Now they see the Arab world changing dramatically. Two dictators have been toppled. Others seem to be teetering. Asia Bundawi reports from Chicago that the Arab Spring is causing Arab Americans to reconsider their hyphenated identities.
As an Algerian American, I've grown up on stories of the homeland my parents fled. They sought political asylum from repression and corruption in a country they loved, but felt they could no longer live in. They weren't alone. Waves of Arabs escaping political oppression immigrated to the U.S. from the Middle East and North Africa in the 1970s and 80s. Now, nearly three decades later, second-generation Arabs in America are being confronted with a fundamentally existential question. If we're here because our parents fled repressive, undemocratic regimes, and those regimes no longer exist, well, then shouldn't we go back?
It's still, like, bizarre. It's like a dream to even discuss, can we possibly live there, you know?
Abdullah Fadli is an artist who was born and raised in the U.S. His parents fled Libya in 1980 to escape Muammar Gaddafi's regime.
My father didn't come here willingly. He was in exile from the get-go. And Libyans wanted to live in Libya, you know, so these people came here unwillingly. They love their country. My father hasn't seen his family in over, you know, 30 years. I'm sure he's going to go back.
Fadli is one of a group of Yemeni, Libyan, Palestinian, Syrian, Egyptian, and Iraqi Americans who got together recently in Chicago to talk about their place in a post-authoritarian Arab world. Hanan Saeed is a Yemeni-American political organizer and activist. She says as much as she might want to go back if things in Yemen change, her dual identity actually complicates things.
Going back to Yemen, when you told people that you were American, Yemeni, they'd sort of like smirk at you and go, okay, yeah. I wasn't raised in Yemen. I was born in Yemen. I came here at the age of two. And now all of a sudden, I'm beginning to enter back into this world of I want to be closer to my Yemeni identity. I want to understand what's going on. I want to be involved. But, you know, I know there's going to be a struggle if I go back because now my identity's going to be challenged.
This question of being Arab enough quickly transforms into a conversation about identity. In a room of nine Arab Americans, every one handles their hyphenated status differently. Yasser Tabara, a Syrian American, was born in Chicago and grew up in Damascus before returning to the U.S. as a teenager. He says that Syrian and American identities are perceived to be in conflict.
After all, Syria has been classified as part of the axis of evil by America for a very long time. But I truly do not feel any sort of schism between the two identities. As an American, I'm also very comfortable with supporting the pro-democracy movement in Syria and the Arab world. I mean, after all, that is a fundamentally American value.
Iraqi-American Leigh Saud is tired of the whole debate over hyphenated status. He says he doesn't even consider himself an Arab-American.
I'm beginning to consider myself an American-Arab. I was born in Baghdad, but I grew up here. For me to be as Iraqi as an Iraqi is absurd. Right? I'm an American, but I happen to be an Arab one.
Ahmed Rehab is an Egyptian-American activist who flew to Cairo last month to participate in the Egyptian revolution. He says he is fully American and fully Arab, and that hyphenating those two identities is unnecessary.
I could be an American, I could be an Egyptian, I could be Arab. I have, you know, the capacity and the capability of being all three. They're not hyphenated. One does not qualify the other. When I go vote as an American, I don't, you know, chisel hieroglyphics on my ballot card. And, you know, when I'm in Egypt and I'm like, you know, in Tahrir Square chanting with everybody else, I'm not, you know, saying yay freedom. You know, I'm chanting in Arabic, you know, the same slogans. I fully relate to these people there. They relate to me.
Yemeni American Hanam Saeed says that beyond just a label, her hyphenated identity has complicated the question of who she represents when she wants to speak her mind. She calls it a sticky situation.
Am I speaking on behalf of America or am I speaking on behalf of Yemen? And, you know, I myself find every time I, you know, after I send out a tweet, I'm like, oh, crap, you know, like what are people going to think, you know, because I'm not there and I don't know what's going on. And at the end of the day, it's my passion to see people living dignified lives. You know, that's what I want. That's what I can identify with.
Khalil Marar is a Palestinian-American professor and writer. He says his hyphenated identity is associated with a feeling of guilt.
As a person of Palestinian descent who lives in America and enjoys the freedoms that we have here, I feel really guilty about my Palestinian brothers and sisters that live under occupation. I feel really guilty about my Egyptian brothers and sisters that live under the Mubarak regime.
Whatever their feelings on being hyphenated Americans, all of these men and women agree that they want to play a role in the wave of change taking place in the Arab world, whether or not that means actually moving there. But in a generational twist of poetic justice, some will make the leap and return to the countries their parents were forced to abandon decades ago. For the world, I'm Asya Bundawi, Chicago.